To be caught up in the middle of you. Wow, what a great place to be caught up to, huh? Right in the middle of God. Alive in Him. We've been talking this year about our theme for 2014. We said more in 21:4. That we wanted more of God. We want more of His Spirit. If you want more of God, you got to want more of His Spirit. We want to walk more in His Spirit. We said that our mission is to make devoted followers of Jesus in community, in a connect group, in small group, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need one another, and we need the Holy Spirit to accomplish all that God has us to be and to do as followers of Christ. We've been talking about this Spirit then, wanting more of the Spirit. Let me give you just a quick review of some of the things that we've covered. We talked about how Adam lost some aspect of the Spirit. When God created Adam, it was amazing. He was walking with God in the cool of the day, and he had this walk with God that was absolutely incredible. But something happened in the fall. Something happened in that spiritual connection. He got booted out of the garden, and things got tough and difficult, and life was hard. And all of a sudden, we realized we lost some aspect, some touch of the Spirit. But then Christ, by His work on the cross, when He came and He died on that cross, He opened up access to the fullness of the Spirit of God once again in every one of the believers' lives. We have full access to God's Spirit. And it's God's Spirit that connects with us until we see Him face to face in heaven. And we talked about this Spirit. This Holy Spirit and His attributes and what He does. And we talked about the Holy Spirit, that He's our helper. He's our paraclete. We talked about that we're God's house, that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that God's plan was never to live in an ornate building, but to live in ordinary people. We talked about how God likes a clean house. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, so decorate it appropriately. And that when you live with someone else, you start picking up their habits. And as we live with the Holy Spirit, we start picking up the habits of the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit as our seal. We talked about the whole engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of more to come. The Holy Spirit is affected by your conduct. And that when we cheat on God, sin is cheating on Him. We wouldn't want to more cheat on our fiancé or our wife or our spouse. We wouldn't want to cheat on God either. We talked about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And we talked about being led by the Spirit. And as we are led by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We talked about that God's Spirit is a spirit of generosity. And if His Spirit is generous, we should be generous as well. If you want any of those messages, you can go online to livingfaithfellowship.com and you can pick any of those up at any time. We're going to get into the topic I have for today about the moving of the Holy Spirit. How big is your box? And let's start with 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. If you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the Word, as we respect God and His Word. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." I have one line from another scripture here, if you can put that up. I'd like us to say too. In 2 Peter 1:21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." You may be seated. Thank you. I want to start off with that second scripture, and we'll get into the first one in just a moment. It says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to talk this morning about the moving of the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Spirit, some call it the dancing hand of God. God moving, God orchestrating, God moving in the affairs of mankind, God moving in the affairs of a world, God moving via His Spirit through His people, communicating, trying to accomplish something through us, in us, for His purpose. But the Spirit of God moves. The Spirit of God is not static. It is dynamic. It is always on the move. We may miss it because we're not aware of it, but God's Spirit is always moving. 24/7, 365 and a quarter days out of the year, God's Spirit is moving. He's doing something in people's lives. He is the ultimate multitasker. He can move in your life and everyone else's life at the same time. He can orchestrate, move things, and create things in mighty and powerful ways. But you know what, church? A lot of the times we're oblivious to the moving of God's Spirit. I don't want to be oblivious to it. I want to be an active participant, involved, eyes wide open. We asked for that. We sang this morning about having our eyes wide open to God and His move. I want us to be a people who's always sensing, always looking for the, how is God moving? What's God doing? And you're in a conversation. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to act? We belong to God. He has a purpose for you in everything that you do. And that we get to give Him glory and we get to listen to this Spirit that He gave to us, this Holy Spirit that He gave on Pentecost. He gave the Spirit in fullness to us that we could hear Him, that we could walk in that Spirit. But He wants to move. We're talking about this moving. The word moved. The word moved means to so influence as to cause others to follow a recommended course of action. That's where God's at. The moving of His Spirit upon us is to influence us to cause others to follow a recommended course of action. God moves on us because He has a recommended, He has a course of action that He wants us to do. He has a plan, if you will, for your life. He wants you to accomplish something. He wants you to live life and realize He's going to use you as He orchestrates everything that's going on. You are an active, dynamic part of the move of God. You're a piece in His chess game. You're a piece that He wants to move around. He wants to be involved and move in our life. But I think a lot of times we just sit there and think, oh, I'm just a pawn. I just sit here and I do nothing. Well, tell you what, you get to the other end of the board, a pawn turns into a... Who plays chess? To a? Not a king. You only get one king. A queen. Powerful piece. I'm saying, what is God saying to you right now? What's God talking to you? How is He moving in your life, in your affairs, in some of the things you're going, oh gosh, this seems tough, and this seems bleak, this seems awful. What is God doing? What is He doing? Because He's doing something right now. He's moving right now. You see it all as bleak, or you see it as tough, or you see it as difficult, or maybe it's going well and wonderful and great. He's accomplishing something. He's doing something. Are we listening? Are we aware? Are we aware of the move of God? The Holy Spirit moved on man, and he influenced them to action. Holy men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, John the Baptist, Peter, John the Apostle, Paul, all were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit influenced their lives, and they did many positive, radically powerful things for God. And the Spirit desires to move today in your life. He's not dead. He's not done. He wants to move. He wants to move to influence us to a course of action. The Holy Spirit moves, and the course of action is invite that person to church. Share the gospel with that person. Just be a friend to that person. This influence of the Holy Spirit as He moves upon you. Or maybe He's saying, hey, work hard at your job. Maybe He's saying, hey, love your wife. Maybe He's saying, hey, love your wife. Maybe He's saying, hey, love your wife. Maybe He's saying, hey, love your husband. That was pretty good too. Hey, love your husband. You do a good job. You do an amazing job. The Holy Spirit moved, also in Strong's, means to bear or to carry. The Holy Spirit wants to carry you into something powerful, something dynamic. God wants to move today by His Spirit to do amazing things, magnificent things, miraculous things, supernatural things, powerful things. The same God who did powerful things in the Bible is the same God who today wants to move by His Spirit in the church and in the lives of His people. He is not done. This isn't like, wow, this is the way it used to be. Well, these are the great things that happened, but they don't happen anymore. No, no, no. There's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He'll do amazing things. He'll do amazing things. The Spirit wants to move, but do we stop Him? The Spirit wants to move in you, but do we stop Him by neglect or refusal to hear or refusing to obey or so many things that we begin to stop, to quench the Spirit? But He's not dead. He's looking for us to believe and to move in powerful ways. Here's what I think the problem is. I think the problem in life is this, and I'm going to, I put this together as I was praying about this, wrote something, and I want to read it. I want to call it the box. I entitled the message this morning about how big is your box. This whole box mentality is an amazing thing that happens, I think, to all of us. And let me say it like this. We all feel more comfortable trying to understand the magnificence of God by putting Him in parameters that we can understand. How do you understand an infinite God? You put Him in a context that you can understand. We tend to put Him in a box, either a very small box or a very big box, but it's a box. We have a hard time with words like infinity, forever, no beginning, no end, limitless, nothing's impossible. We have a hard time with those words, and I think the reason we have a hard time with them is we can't really grasp these words because we don't see or experience them repeatedly. They are not commonplace. So we have a hard time this side of heaven trying to understand that concept of God and how big and how wonderful and how immense and how powerful He is. And the way we deal with the limitless boundaries in order to wrap our head around it is we begin to put our definitions on what this looks like with words and ideas that we understand, even if we don't understand them very well. We have to put them down to some sort of a context that we can understand. And the problem is that our attempts to understand God, we put boundaries. We put boundaries up, and then we define Him inside of our boundaries so we can wrap our head around it, so we can try to understand this concept of God. Now, I'm not saying that this is a wicked thing, okay? I'm saying it's a human thing. It's something we all try to do from the very beginning of time. We try to understand concepts, and we create a box, and we put all of our understanding inside of a box. And so we try to understand, we put more and more things, and maybe we start off with the things of God and we don't know very much. And so we put just a little bit in there, and so we got a few things in there about God, and then all of a sudden we grow, we put more things, and we put more things, and we put bigger things, and we put more stuff inside the box. More of our understanding. We read the Scriptures and we understand more, and therefore we kind of put more things in there. Our box gets bigger, but it's still a box. The problem is that God has no boundaries. There are none. There are none. A hard concept for human mindsets to understand. No boundaries. No, okay, here's the picture frame and we draw the picture inside. Okay, here's where we're at and we do everything inside there. This box. This concept of God that we throw in this box. God has no boundaries. There is no box that He fits in. No matter how big you make the box, once you put a boundary on it, or once you box it in, you can't fit all of God in it. You can fit all of God that you know and understand in it, but that is not all of God. And the problem is, we walk around in life with our definitions and our understanding of who God is, and He is this. And when God wants to move outside of our box, it freaks us out. Therefore, we say, no, you can only do what I put in this box that you can do, God. You can't do anything greater, bigger, because it freaks me out. And therefore, because I like life comfortable, I like it, I like to be in control, I like to understand, so I put them in the box, and this is what you can do. On Sunday, hey, we can worship the box, hallelujah. God, you're wonderful, you're magnificent, you're endless, as far as long as you fit inside of this endless box. You're amazing, you're incredible, but you fit in this box. So when the Holy Spirit, the supernatural of God, wants to move in our life, if it doesn't match what we think should be God in the box, we reject it. Because God can only fit in this box. Let me tell you what, if you're putting God in a box, if you're defining the parameters, well, you're like better than God, because you can define who He is. That's what I say you are. But you know what? It doesn't matter what you say He is. That's not who He is. He's that and so much more. So much more. You can't fit them all into this box. To a lot of people, this is no problem. They draw a box and put God in it, and that's just fine. They go about life expecting only from God what they allow in their box. Be it unto you according to your faith. All the faith I have is right in this box. To your expectancy, all I expect God to do is right in this box. But they can only expect what's in the box. Nothing more, nothing bigger, nothing greater, nothing more powerful, nothing more ominous, nothing that will just freak you out. Because we just want our God to live comfortably in the box that we have provided for Him. Unless something big happens. If you have something really huge, your mom's going through difficulty, you need a miracle, all of a sudden we're going, okay, well, for this one thing, because I'm desperate, we'll allow God to do something a little bit outside the box. I think that it's amazing that we limit God to a box, and we all do, folks. I do. We say, well, I believe you for anything. Do you? Really? Absolutely? You praying for that? So, like it's going to happen? Or do we kind of, well, God can't do all of that, but He could probably do that, that, and that. So I want to pray for those things, because that's kind of within His job description that I've so willingly given to Him. And He fits right in it. But what's outside of it? How do we, mortal people, try to understand an infinite God? You can't. He doesn't fit into your box. A whole bunch just oozes out everywhere else. It may be comforting for you to put Him in there, but it's not comforting for God. And like I said, folks, we all do it somehow. And if God were to move outside of that box, we call it one thing, heresy. If you would do something outside of my understanding of who you are, well, that would be heretical. That you can't do that. You can't do that. Who can tell God He can't do anything? When do we ever have the right to say, no, God, you can't do that? It doesn't fit my theology. It doesn't fit my way of thinking. It doesn't fit my box. God is God, period. What if we addressed Him in such a way that we had no box? Or that you started to try to take away some of the edges of your box? You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, small kids, you give them a present, and they open up the present. They get all excited about the present. Wow, there's nothing in here, but Sorry, Catherine. So, you know, you give a small kid, and you give them a box, And you give them this great gift inside. It's amazing, you know. And they take the gift out of their inside like that. And then they start playing with the box. You had that happen? You give a kid, you know, a really expensive gift. And all of a sudden, you know, it's a young kid. And he's playing with the box. And you're trying to get him to play with the gift. But he doesn't want to play with the gift. He wants to play with the box because the box seems to be so much fun. Because he really doesn't understand the gift. I didn't even know how to use the gift, but this seems intriguing. This was fun. It had wrapping paper on it. It was really cool. And so he plays with the box. Do you know how many of us play with the box as Christians? We're over here playing with our box, and God goes, I had a gift in there. I wanted to get it out. I had so much more than just the box. Well, I got to understand the box because the box is powerful. The box is safe. Here he is giving us gifts of the Holy Spirit that we don't understand. And we try to argue about how they have to fit into the box or it doesn't work. And I'm going, wow. God gave us a gift that we would play with the gift outside of the box, not play with the box. And folks, let me tell you what, we all do this. Don't they think, well, you know, there's some people out there that are just really narrow-minded, and they don't really... Folks, we're all narrow-minded somewhere. And I'm just trying to say, the Holy Spirit came and moved on people. Can you imagine Jeremiah? I believe it was Jeremiah that had to lay naked in the thing for a while. That seems like a real great thing that God should do. Well, of course, today, there are a lot of people that probably would do that. But I'm just saying... that he asked them to do so many things that was out of the box. And they did it. They didn't understand it even. They didn't even understand it. And that's the other thing is, we're so intellectual that we're going, unless I understand it, therefore it doesn't count. Because how do you understand an infinite God? There's no way to understand him totally. It's going to take us forever in heaven to understand this God who's so amazing. I'm asking you today, though, could you... get a bigger box or open up the box and play with the stuff that he wants us to play with and maybe try to get rid of the box. So this morning I ask you, how big is your box? How big a box do you have when it comes to the moving of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to God wanting to do something in your life, when it comes to the impossible, to the limitless, to the powerful, to the amazing? How big is your box? And then know that God is so much bigger than your box. He's infinitely times bigger than your box. We were talking in Illustrators about, Rory was talking about the movie Jaws, and Catherine and Joe Fitzgerald had never seen Jaws. They had no idea what he was talking about. It's like, and Rory just went crazy. It's like, well, it's a classic. It's like Jaws was like, anyway, so maybe a lot of you, maybe you haven't seen Jaws, but here's what happened. There's a big shark. And the one sheriff guy, I think, they're chumming for the shark because he's created chaos everywhere. And so they're trying to catch this shark. And so he's chumming there, and all of a sudden, the shark comes out, and the first time they see the shark, and it's humongous. And the guy who was chumming backs up like this, and the captain's in the steering the boat, and he backs up like this, and he backs up, and he backs up. His eyes are just really big, really big, really big, really big. And he doesn't even take his eyes off of what he saw there, and he leans over to the captain, and he says this, "We're going to need a bigger boat." We're going to need a bigger boat. Christians, we're going to need a bigger box. We're going to need a bigger box if you really want to see God move, if you really want to see the Spirit, the dancing hand of God, orchestrate and be involved with this powerful force, this powerful person, the third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. He will influence you. He will move on you to do things that you will not feel comfortable doing. I guarantee you, if you ask him to move. He will do things. He will push you into situations that you don't want to be, way past your comfort level. No. This is embarrassing. This is way. No. You could easily say, no, it doesn't fit my box. Therefore, and you know, that's always our great escape. Doesn't fit my box. I don't have to do it. Doesn't fit my box. The Holy Spirit wants to move in situations that will make you uncomfortable, that will make you knees shake, that will make you pray and ask God for help. But if we'll respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit, we'll get to partner with God to see amazing things happen. How big is your box? How big is your box? I want the Spirit to move. Oh, but God, I put limitations on it. Help me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking I could define you and throw you in a box. Oh, God, I want you to live outside of it. And I want you to move through me in ways that will terrify me, but not you. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. When it comes to the move of God, you're going to need a bigger box. You know, there's that one thing about the lines. You have that one up there, Catherine? You know, you're supposed to put your pin down at one spot, and then you got four lines without taking your pin off the paper to make it, to go through every dot, to connect all of the dots. I think you've probably all seen all of this. And you really can't do it if you try to stay in the box. The only way you can do it is if you go outside the box. And how do we do that? You got to go outside the box. One, two, three, four. But whenever we put something out there and go, okay, do this, we always have our preconceived ideas of how it's supposed to work, and we always put a frame around it. We always box it in. Oh, God, help us to live without a box. Help us to live without the security of a box and the complete dependency of a spirit. Outside of the security of our box, and into the complete dependency of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would move, that you would move, that you would move. We only want God to be supernatural, like I said, when there's trouble. Other times, we want him so natural because we don't want him to freak us out. We want a God who's predictable, comfortable, normal, and natural, and fits in our nice, neat, little box. 1 Thessalonians, the scripture we started with here, it says, rejoice always. He wants us always happy, always rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. That's why we're doing the 40 days of prayer. We want to keep praying. Pray without ceasing. We need to always be communing, talking to God. And everything give thanks, because we realize that the Lord's going to use it in an amazing way. Even stuff that looks bad, we go, all right, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do something great out of this. Because he does his best work with busted stuff, with messed up things. Look at us. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then this part here, I want you to take note of it. Do not quench the Spirit. Say that with me. Do not quench the Spirit. It's amazing to me that if he asks us not to quench the Spirit, then we must be able to quench the Spirit. He's asking us, please, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the move of God. Don't stop it. Don't cover it. Don't put it out. Because we can. You can. When the Holy Spirit comes and moves on you and says, talk to that person, move this way, give your wife flowers, do something nice. When he does that to you, we can easily quench the Spirit and say, no. And do you know how many times we quench the Spirit in a day? By those little, What would happen if all of a sudden we just, all right, Lord. All right, Lord. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The word quench here, sebenumi, it means to extinguish. It means to extinguish, to put out the fire, to put it out. Don't put out the fire of the Spirit. Do we take a fire extinguisher on the fire of God that He has set in our hearts and just try to put it out? Put out the zeal of God, the move of God, the excitement of God, the power of God, the purity of God, the conviction of God, the move of God. Do we do that sometimes because it doesn't fit our box? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Put gasoline on it. Don't quench the Spirit. Put gasoline on it. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, God's moving and doing something. You go, oh, I'll be right back. And we just go, I mean, every guy out there, don't we love to throw gasoline on a fire? What guy out there does not like to throw gasoline on a fire? It's like what we do. Nobody ever said, hey, young boys, throw gasoline on a fire. We just figure that all by ourselves. We all love that. Because we love fire. I mean, fire is just great. But then, more fire. Wah. Love fire. The CCF bonfire. My gosh, they're burning buildings now there at that thing. I mean, how many pallets did they have stacked high at one time? 180 pallets stacked. It was, I don't know, it was 30, 40 feet high. It was just, and then they just lit it on fire and watched it burn, and everybody loved it. Loved it. We love seeing it burn. We love throwing gas on a fire. Let's love throwing it on the move of the Holy Spirit. God, keep going. Keep going. Holy Spirit, pour out. Pour out. Pour out. I think He is. He's pouring out. I love it when God gives you a little exclamation mark. It's pretty cool. This is like team preaching here with the Lord. It's kind of awesome here. I'm saying, think about where have you stifled? Where have you quenched? Where have you just throw some gas on it? Just enjoy yourself. Just throw it on there. It's going to be great. I'll tell you this. You won't regret it, but you will if you put it out. We quench the Spirit by we quench the Spirit by being faithless when God moves. We don't want to believe. We don't expect nothing. We quench the Spirit by being fearful when God moves. We might be fearful, but you keep moving. Fear always goes to calm as you see God move. Fear always goes to calm. Fear always goes to peace. If you follow the moving of the Spirit, at first it blows your box. And then you walk in it and you throw some gasoline on it and you watch it move. And all of a sudden you get to the other side and you go, and you go from fear to just absolute delight because you obeyed Him. We quench the Spirit by being lethargic and uninterested when God moves. The children of Israel did that in their wanderings. You know, God was moving miraculously on the children of Israel, but they didn't respond. In Psalm 78, 40 through 42, it says this, how often they provoked Him, the children of Israel, on the wilderness experience, as they were complaining and murmuring, all that they did, instead of following God and doing what He wanted, they were always finding a way to disobey and do something contrary to what God wanted to do. He said, how often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert by not believing, by not responding to Him when He moved. Yes, again and again they tempted, and look what it says here. This is an important scripture. I love this part. Again and again, they tempted Him. They complained. They murmured. They did all this stuff. And they, say it with me, limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited Him who is limitless. You can do that? You can limit Him who is limitless? Wow. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Their disbelief caused God to not be able to do all that He wanted. They limited the unlimited God. And then it says, they did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the enemy. They blew God off. They didn't care. They quenched the Spirit. They put water on the fire. And it went out. They complained. They grumbled. They murmured. Murmuring. Murmured. Complained. Backbite. I don't like this. I don't like Moses. I don't think he's taking the right spot. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like them getting manna in the morning every day. We have to pick it all up. I don't like that. I want quail. I want meat. I want this. I want water. I want stuff. I want. God's going, well, what about following me? They quenched the Spirit. As they limited God, they fell away from God's intent. Because they limited God and quenched the Spirit, they missed out on God's best. Because they quenched the Spirit and limited God, they missed out on God's best. I think as Christians, sometimes we just go, oh, good, good, good. Well, there's good, better, and best. Then there's bestest. I want bestest. We miss out. Good enough. Good enough. I'm a good enough Christian. I go to church. I'm good enough. I'm good enough there. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm not doubting that you're going to heaven. I'm not doubting that. This isn't about, be fearful, you might not be going to heaven. It's not about going to heaven. It's about, are you getting heaven here on earth? By the move of the Holy Spirit that He wants to move through you. Are we allowing God to move through us? To bring down His power, His grace, His greatness in this earth. Are we putting a good face on Jesus Christ? When God moves and we quench the Spirit, we miss out on His best. God wants to move in our lives personally. He wants to move in our church corporately. But we miss out. My question, have you ever limited God? Have you ever quenched the Spirit? Have you ever resisted the move of God in your life? Yes, yes, yes. Guilty. I'm guilty, Lord. But I don't want to be guilty. I want to be forgiven and changed. Instead of putting out the move, let's throw gasoline on it. Let's throw gasoline on the fire. Let's begin to see things we haven't seen before. Let's begin to ask God to move in ways we've never expected. Let's ask God. We should come to church every Sunday, Wednesday. Holy Spirit, move. You should go to work. Holy Spirit, move. You should go buy your groceries. Holy Spirit, move. You should start your car up, and some people say, Holy Spirit, move, just to get it started. Everything is, hey, what are you doing? Holy Spirit, hey, we're connected. Hey, we're one. Hey, I'm full. I'm walking with you. Lord, what do you want to do? What should we do today? Who should we have talked to? And just a quick word. It was 10 seconds. That's all He wanted you to do and move there. It was a 10-second, hey, hi, God bless you. Hey, it was easy. I think sometimes we think, oh, if I do the move of God, it's going to take me 17 days, 48 hours, and 19 minutes. They're instants. Move, move. I think God wants to challenge us. Challenge us. Are we willing to be moved by the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like the cold water challenge everybody's been having out there. How many people have done the cold water challenge out there? It's crazy. We didn't start this. This came from Doug Wiles back in Missouri or North Dakota or someplace. Of course, North Dakota. Who lives in there? And then it's just spread around here, and everybody calling everybody out. And the cold water challenge. Here, if you don't know about the cold water challenge, here's I had to do the cold water challenge, and here it is.
Hey, this is Phil Vance. I'm here with Flipper and Olaf because I'm going to do the cold water challenge. I've been called out by Sheridan Schaefer. Sheridan, you little snot. Anyway, so I'm accepting the challenge, and therefore I'm going to give $30 to a charity, the Malawi Famine Relief. I'm going to be giving to. And I do get the right then to call out some other folks to do the same challenge. I'm going to call out, let me see, I got a list here. Dan Irish. Yep, the Dan.
He's a pastor.
Ken Lewandowski. And your son Trey. And also Aaron, or Andrew, we want you to come too. Daryl Merrill Jr., I'm calling you out.
Happy birthday, by the way.
By the way, happy birthday. And I hope you have a great day. But you only got 24 hours to do this. I'm going to call out Lee McCoy because, Lee, I'm about as old as you are. We're about the same age, and I'm doing this, so I'm thinking you can do it too. And Aaron Schluter, because you're a young buck, and you should get wet. So the whole idea of this is we give to our charities, and if you don't accept that challenge, you have to give $100 to my charity, the Famine Relief. So here we go. I'm getting ready to jump in with Flipper Olaf here. And
it was cold.
I don't know if it's even cold enough. It's 40-some degrees out here. It's about 40-some degrees in there. I'm going to throw in ice to make sure that it's cold enough in here. Because it's got to be cold. It's got to be 45 degrees or colder. Put it right in there. And I'm going in. So here, please take my glasses. God bless you. Here it is. That's cold.
It was cold.
I can just hardly wait to see the rest of you guys. You gotta jump in cold water, and I'm gonna look for it on Facebook. God bless you all.
Now, I do want to say a couple of things because I know CJ Ellis and Jesse also accepted the cold water challenge. Let me tell you what they did. All three of them got in a 105 degree jacuzzi. All three of them did their little spiel, took a little bit of cold water and dumped it on their head. I call party foul on that. And I say, if you guys don't man up and jump in real cold water, then God bless you. I think you should do it again. I think you should do it again. Acts chapter 19, they got baptized again, so you guys need to do it again. You guys need to do it again, and I want to see it. I want to see it. I know Jesse, you know, he had his dad do it, and his dad and mom both did it. You know, I want to say this. I want to give accolades to Tracy because she went in the water with a swimsuit on. Pastor Tom went in with a wetsuit. Somehow, I would have thought, hey, honey, take the wetsuit. But he took a life raft first and left her right there. It was pretty funny. You should go see Tom's, too. He looks pretty funny on there. And he did lose his little snorkel and his mask. It's at the bottom. And so if anybody's brave enough, maybe I'd have Jesse go right where you were at and just have him do it. Have all three of them go down there and get it. Because it was CJ who called you out, wasn't it? Look at that. That was a fault. You need to go in there, all three of you. Go down and find his mask. All right. The Holy Spirit has given us a cold water challenge. He gives a challenge each and every day. And that challenge is, will you respond to the moving of my Holy Spirit? Will you do what I'm asking you to do? Will you trust? Will you believe? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're such an amazing God. And Lord, even as you're challenging us, you're not mad. You're not beating us. You're just saying, hey, dude, open up the box. Get rid of the boundaries. I have so much more for you. This walk called Christianity is exciting. It's dynamic. But it is exciting, dynamic when it's led by my Spirit. When you respond to my promptings, when you respond to my nudges, when you respond to my conviction. Father, help us to realize it's an adventure. It's awesome when your Spirit moves. Help us to be bold enough to pour gas on it, Lord, to see the move and the power of God spread like wildfire. Lord, we want to see your purposes, your plans, your Spirit accomplish its intent in our world today, Lord. Bust open the box. Transform us, Lord. We want to expect the unexpected. We want you to move. We want to feel the unction of the Spirit, the nudge of God. And we'll respond, Lord. And I know that you'll do something absolutely amazing. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, right here, there's going to be some people who will pray for you to accept the Lord, or maybe need prayer for something. Come on up here. They'll pray for you for anything. The altar's open. If you want to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit or respond to God or ask Him to do something in your life, come on up here and seal it in with the Lord. As you go out, remember this. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's always moving. Connect in. Connect in. And ask Him to use you. And watch with this awesome, powerful, and amazing God, this limitless God, will do in your life. I love you guys tons. Next week, we're going to have testimonies about all of the adult education class we've had this year. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be amazing. God bless you. Love you tons.